Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
I'm Craig Wallace, and I'm playing Ebenezer Scrooge.
Of course, in Ford's Theater's annual production of A Christmas Carol, it's going to run November 18th through December 31st. Thanks so much for joining us again, Craig.
Happy to be here.
All right, this has become an annual tradition. You coming on WTOP to discuss A Christmas Carol every year at Ford's. The audiences in D.C. love it every year. What year are you in now playing this iconic role?
I am in my sixth year, and that's including the radio play and the abridged version that we did last year.
Right, during COVID stuff, you busted out the radio play. That's right. So is this the official first time back live?
Yes, this show is the full complement. We have our young company with us. We have the singing, the dancing, all of the things that people have come to love about this particular production.
Okay, yeah. So I know, I guess in 2020, you guys did a radio play at the very beginning of the pandemic. And then last year, 2021, it was like a live but abridged version, right? So this is the first full one back. Is that right?
This is the first full production of the Christmas Carol that everybody knows and loves. Of the current Christmas Carol that we always do, this is the first time that we're doing it since 2019.
Awesome. How has now that you're in year six of Ebenezer Scrooge, does it fit like a glove? Is it like old hat at this point? Or do you still sort of every time you do it unlock new little nuances that you're like, damn, that Dickens was a genius?
Well, what's great about coming back to this particular production is because for the past 2 years we've done a slightly different version of the script. So when we started rehearsing our old show, this show, it seemed new to me. It seemed fresh. So it was fun to sort of revisit it and try and, even pour more energy into the language.
Awesome.
And the message still as prevalent as ever.
Oh, absolutely. Well, speaking of the story and the message, give us, and this is, everybody knows the story, but just so I have a soundbite, give us the basic premise of, where Scrooge is at the beginning of the story and where he goes throughout.
Find Ebenezer Scrooge as a man who lacks compassion. He lacks caring. I think he's a man who's been hurt in his past. And as a result, he goes through a transformation, and it just happens to happen on Christmas Eve. And during Christmas Eve, he is visited by three ghosts, past, present, and future, that shows him his past life, his present life, and what his future life will be if he doesn't find love and compassion and charity and hope for his fellow man.
Talk about who plays those iconic roles of the ghosts that come to visit you. Oh, as well as Jacob Marley. There's four ghosts.
Jacob Marley. Yes, that's right. That's right. Those of you that have seen the play before, we have all of those wonderful actors back. Justine Icy Morrell plays past. Rayan Gonzalez plays present. Jacob Marley is played by Stephen Schmidt. And the ghost of the future is a mystery.
we won't spoil. I mean, that's part of the magic. It remains a mystery. talk about how, I mean, we've mentioned this every year, but I always think it's a cool element of the Ford's Theater version. This version, is how, the ghosts of past, present, future, how they each sort of have a real world counterpart, sort of like, the farmhands in the Wizard of Oz become Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion. I think it's kind of cool that the ghosts are all sort of, set up and then pay off later as the ghosts with real world, props and stuff.
Yes. The doll vendor, reveals itself as Christmas past. The fruit vendor is Christmas present. And the clock vendor is Christmas yet to come. So we see them in regular life, and then we see them in the fantastic life of Scrooge's journey on Christmas Eve.
Great. And you mentioned just a couple seconds ago that the ghost of, future is, it remains a mystery. Talk about how Ford's Theater sort of creates that mystery, both with, lights and booming sounds and sort of, I mean, because it is, it is a ghost story at Christmas. So talk about some of those ghost story elements.
Well, all I'll say about it is that ghost is unlike any other ghost, and that's including Jacob Marley. And that's where the magic is of that ghost. There's a foreboding about that ghost that is really, really drags Scrooge into his final revelation.
And speaking to that final revelation, I mean, how much, it's got to be one of the most fun roles in all of theater to play that jubilation on Christmas morning. I mean, to talk about how, I guess just, you know, after a few hours of playing this miserly curmudgeon, you're slowly watching him thaw. You know, I'm sure your posture and mannerisms are sort of melting and thawing as well as you portray that. But just talk about how much fun it is to go from, you know, rigid, stiff, angry, crotchety guy to just almost like a giddy schoolboy in the end.
Oh, it's great. I mean, because, you know, I start the play very... mean is not the right word, but, you know, he's stiff, he's rigid. He's not breathing. I mean, the actor is breathing, but I don't think Scrooge is breathing. And after he goes through this transformation, the idea of breathing and seeing life in a new way and not being afraid to dance in the street, I think we all want to do that. I think we all want the courage to be able to do that, to dance in the street on Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah, that's what keeps us coming back to that story time and time again. And there's always a really cool giving element of this story, you know, about how I know you guys all like always accept charitable donations at the end of the show. What is the charity you're benefiting this year? And you know, and remind our listeners how, you know, how you actually ask for those donations at the end.
This year's charity is called For the Love of Children. It's a local organization that provides out-of-classroom educational services to D.C.'s under-resourced youth to help the students succeed from second grade to college and beyond. And what we do is, at the end of the night, we thank everyone for coming, we tell them about our charity, and we tell them how they can donate. And they can donate live in the theater, or they can donate online by scanning their QR code, which is in the program.
I love that, because when I first started covering this show for WTOP, there was no QR code donation. So it's kind of cool. It's evolved with the times. And I'm sure, yes, you know, 20 years from now, there'll be some other weird hologram way we're donating.
Yeah,
or
totally.
We touch a chip on our brain and donate or
something. Right, exactly.
That's cool. Well, speaking of that giving charitable theme, and just sort of the helping our fellow man sort of theme. I mean, Dickens was... You know, I guess what this was like during the Industrial Revolution back in those old days, Oliver Twist, all that kind of stuff. So, but it's still, the theme still resonates to now. And talk about, I mean, at least the line that always resonates to me is sort of that, you know, those twin evils of mankind, which are ignorance and want, and beware of these. Like, talk about sort of just how that sort of relates to today, how, you know, we got to overcome ignorance and want within us.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think one of the things we're trying to reinforce in this year's production, which we have in the past, but now we're returning to our original production, is that, you know, not everyone is doing well. In fact, most people aren't. And if we don't, as a society, as an American society, as a global society, take that chance to reach out to each other, then we're all in trouble. Right. The interesting thing about Christmas Carol for me is that it's filled with all of the love and joy of Christmas, but there's also, you know, the other side of that, and that's that people are struggling. And I think even in 2022, people are struggling. And Scrooge looks away. And part of the thing that Scrooge learns is that he cannot afford to look away. And I think that's a message that we all can embrace.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for pointing that out. I mean, yeah, I mean, people are struggling. I mean, you know, poverty, you know, racial disparity, you know, political climate's crazy. There's refugees from war in Ukraine right now. I mean, we just got over how many years of a pandemic, people struggling economically and losing family members, health and everything. So yeah, people are struggling, and this is a time to come together. And I can't think of a better show for it. Well, we sort of delved into the serious, you know, heavy social themes, which I think is the genius of Dickens in this. But talk about sort of, you know, it's also a fun, happy singing Christmas carols, you know, like a holiday show. Maybe if family members are in town for Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday season. Talk about why it's fun for them to come out with all the carols and stuff.
Oh, it's just, it's in despite of all the that downside, that sort of real world stuff, it's filled with hope and joy. And, you know, hope and joy is the result of that compassion and that reaching out and that giving and that opening up, is that it allows you to feel the hope and joy. The Cratchits are such a great example. When Scrooge sees their existence, he never imagined what their existence would be like. And yet there's so much love and so much hope in their family. And I think that's another thing that we can carry with us. And once again, the music and the young company and seeing them being a part of the show, it really does warm your heart. And I think if we do it right, Scrooge at the end will warm your heart as well.
Absolutely. Yes. When Tiny Tim says, God bless us, everyone, it's infectious. I mean, to see a family that doesn't have much, but really they have it all, like the love in that room. And I think
exactly
it's a real eye opener for Scrooge and hopefully for audiences too. Well, you've been generous with your time. Before you run, I don't know if I've ever asked you this in previous years or not, but I'm curious, do you have a favorite Scrooge, you know, performance movie, TV movie? You know what I mean? Like, is there one that you always watch sort of every holiday season?
The original one, the Alistair, his name escapes me, but
Alistair
it's the one my mother always watched.
Alistair Sim, that's my favorite too. I'm glad you said that.
It's the one my mother always watched. And then I discovered George C. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And his Scrooge, in fact, it's the kind of Scrooge that it's the Scrooge that I've been most influenced by, is that he's, you know, the sort of miserly, old, cranky Scrooge. George C. Scott was so cold, and there was something about the cold of it, which means that Scrooge can really be any age.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not about him being old and miserly. Of course, that's what Dickens wrote, but I mean, you know, what he is compassionless. And right. That can manifest itself in so many ways. And of course, you know, the Muppets. Everybody loves the Muppets.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo, you said? Yeah, yeah. You got to love. I mean, yes, I love the Muppets. And of course, Scrooge McDuck. That's perfect. He is literally yes. Scrooge, the Disney version, the cartoon. But yes, in terms of like live action classic telling, George C. Scott, I guess that's 1984. And then for me, it's Alistair Sim, 1951. I encourage younger listeners who maybe just watch the Muppets every year. You know, you can keep watching your Muppets, but go back and watch the Alistair Sim, because I think that one, not only is the performance great, the jubilation at the end, etc., but I really love, I think that one really goes into the backstory with, you know, fan and the connect. Like, there's a lot of the backstory that gets lost in some of the newer versions that I love sort of.
And it's the one I grew up with, and it's the one that moved me even as a child. So that indeed is my favorite.
Yep. Me too. All right, cool. Well, thanks so much for doing this again. It's going to be fun. Final seconds. Pretend you're talking directly to the listeners, like I'm not even here. And, you know, just say, hey, everyone, this is Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, come on out. And if you want to throw a bah humbug, that's cool. Or however you want to do it.
Hey, everyone. Ebenezer Scrooge here. We're back. Fords is back. Our young people are back. The music is back. The dancing is back. Please come and join us. Happy holidays. And, of course, bah humbug.
Awesome. That's a perfect place to leave it. All right, cool. Thanks for doing this again, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Take care of yourself. Happy holidays.
You too. You too. Bye.
Be well.